Good morning.
Good morning.
Say it with me. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Now put your hand over your heart. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Amen. Amen. Glad that you're with us this morning. Well, did we get the registration slips flying around? Yes. Keep those moving. And if you are a guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here and hope that you feel Christ in this place, hope you feel love from his people, hope you feel that Holy Spirit that we just invited to be in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, there is a white card, a Get Connected card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would really like to know that you were here, and you can, if you would like to be added to, even if it's not your first Sunday, if you want to be added to our email list, you can put your email down there, and we'll get you added onto our list. At the end of the service for our guests, I will be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you. I've got a gift for our guests, and would really love to meet you and get to know you out there. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Beginning in verse 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have invited you, and we ask that you come and speak in power and authority. We recognize, Holy Spirit, that that's the only way you do speak, is in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Billy mentioned earlier, isn't that pretty awesome that the way our music matched up with the verse today? Billy had not looked at that when he selected the music for today. I think God's trying to tell us something. We're continuing the sermon series, Hallelujah Living, Hallelujah Living. And if you do it, you know, you're gonna almost be in heaven, Billy, for doing it every third day. You know, you're gonna be like in the heavenly outhouse or something. I don't know what, but you can be my servant. Would that maybe servant's quarters, maybe? No, it's not that, it doesn't work that way. But I do encourage you, even if you haven't been doing the 40 Days of Praise, there's some booklets out in the foyer still down at this end on the table, and just help yourself to one of those booklets, and I try to send those out each week so you can have it electronically as well. It's just a few of you doing that, even if it's every third day, that's good. So Hallelujah Living, today's message is praise is powerful, praise is powerful. I'm going to jump right in. We're going to unpack this scripture a little bit today. One of my favorite scriptures, I love Acts. I love the stories in Acts when the church was fresh, when the the Holy Spirit had just come and inhabited the church, and things were beginning to happen. The first thing I want us to talk about in this scripture is praising God in all circumstances is our testimony. Want that to sink in for a second. Praising God in all circumstances is our testimony. And I think I mentioned it maybe last week or the week before that when we praise God when things are going well, I mean, that's good, but Scripture seems to indicate that even the pagans do that. But Scripture is calling us to praise God in all circumstances. Now, I want to, that it's our testimony. It's testimony to the goodness of who God is. Now, I want to set the scene for this passage that we just read. Paul, in Acts chapter 14, I mentioned this, I think, last week. Acts chapter 14, he had been in Lystra, and he had been beaten, what they thought, beaten him to death. And they drug him to the edge of town and thinking left him for dead. And the disciples heard about it. They came and they nursed his wounds and he headed back into town. Now, I said, I think last week, I think I'd have been going that away instead of that away. But he went right back into town in Acts chapter 14. So he's obviously been suffering for the gospel of Christ. And in this passage, I'm going to set the scene. They're in prison. Paul and Silas were seized in Philippi for casting out a demon out of this slave girl who had, through the demonic possession, had the ability to predict the future. And her slave owners they were profiting from this. And they kept this slave girl kept following Paul and Silas around, and then finally the demonic presence inside of her kept saying, "Hey, these are servants of the Most High God." I mean, she's calling them out. And after a while, Paul and Silas kind of tired of the little game, and Paul turned around and said, "In the name of Jesus, come out!" So they cast out the demon, and suddenly the slave owners of this girl, they lost their source of income. They were not happy. So they turned Paul and Silas in, and they to the authorities. They made up some stories that they were teaching things that were contrary to the law and so on and so forth, and had them. So after they went to the authorities, they had them stripped, based on a lie, they had them stripped and beaten. They had them severely flogged, and that was not a pleasant ordeal. They had them thrown into prison, and they told the guard to, "You better guard these people with your life. I mean, we don't want these people escaping." So he put them in the stocks, and he put them in the inner cell, which was the most secure of all the cells. And yet, so needless to say, it hadn't been that great a day for Paul and Silas. Anybody with me here? I haven't had a day like that. Paul, it wasn't really going that well for them. So they find themselves beaten, bleeding, probably somewhat near death, in prison, this cold dungeon. And yet, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Hello. Is this on? It wasn't. Their circumstances were not very praiseworthy, were they? All those things that it had been a bad day. What's that book? It's very bad, blah, blah, blah. I wish I could. Somebody say it out loud if you remember it.
Why bad things happen to good people.
Well, that's one, but there's a book. Spoken from a Mother's Day Out director right there. It had been a bad day. And yet about midnight they began to pray and they began to sing hymns to God. And then listen to this. And the other prisoners were listening. What do you think's going through their mind? If I'm another prisoner and I'm kind of going, what's up with those guys? They've been beaten, falsely accused, beaten, thrown into prison, and they're praising God. What's up with those guys? The other prisoners were listening to them. They're praising God in all circumstances. That's our testimony to our faith. It's not when things are going great and we're praising God. I mean, anybody can do that. It's that moment when just literally the world is collapsing around us and we still choose to praise God. Brent mentioned it, we had some families, the Millikens, had some roof damage from yesterday. We had Kevin and Sabra Silvestri that basically lost their home. Pulled a roof right off, and they probably lost their home. Good friends of ours that I grew up with, a very good friend of my mom's, lost her home over on Lexington, pulled a roof off and damaged everything. And yet I saw this friend of ours, I saw her on the news yesterday, right after the storm, and the K-Texas, I think it was going around, they were interviewing people in the neighborhood, and they interviewed her, and they said, you know, tell us how you're doing and everything, and she said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, I didn't plan on doing this, but it just came to my mind. I've actually got, I'm going to read, I don't think Kevin would mind. This was yesterday afternoon. Kevin Silvestri, I said, their house is gone. And here's his update to me. He said, the house is being considered a total loss. God had his hand on our family, though. During the chaos, Joanna, is his mother-in-law, thought she saw a blanket over Sabra. After we were saved, Joanna mentioned it to Sabra. Sabra had been huddled in the hall covering Salvi and Izzy during the storm. Sabra said she had no blanket. Despite this, she and the children appeared clean of debris on them. The kiddos were checked by the doctor and appear to be completely fine. Our dachshund was unscathed. We got to save the dachshund. Now, it gets better. And our chicken coop could not be found at all, but some neighbors said they saw my chickens a few blocks away pecking around. So God even saved the chickens. Now, that's a God worthy of praise right there. God protected everyone. God is good all the time. Now, this is a man who just lost his house and all of his possessions. Now, I'm not giving praise to Kevin Silvestri, although Kevin's a good guy. That's God. That's God. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And I can just imagine blood was streaming down their faces as it was happening. So how we doing, church, with that? How we doing with that? How do we handle difficult circumstances? Secondly, God moves in power through our praise. You know, so they're sitting there in the prison. They're singing praises to God. The other prisoners are listening. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaking. The prison doors flew open, the chains came loose, and you heard the rest of the story. I'm just telling you guys, this may sound, you may not, you can buy it or you don't buy it. Things shift in the supernatural through praise. Amen. Praise is spiritual warfare. Amen. It just is. And let me tell you, the devil hates that. He hates it when we praise God. He wants to bring us down. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And God wants us to have abundant life. And when we praise him, that's spiritual warfare. Amen. Now, this may seem trivial to me, but it's I've shared this story before, but it just really stuck with me. A friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, he went fly fishing, went backpacking, fly fishing with some friends, and he's a big fly fisherman. He loves to do that. And he got up in the mountains, and it's raining on him. And I mean, if you've done any backpacking, it's a hard trek up in there in the mountains to catch some fish. And they're up there, and they got their tent set up, and it's raining, and raining pretty good where they can't get out and do what they went up there to do. And they had these three little individual tents kind of set up in this little camping area up in the mountains, and it's raining, and they're all just kind of sitting there with their little flaps open on the tent, just looking at each other, standing kind of bummed. Okay? And they'd been doing that for several hours. And then one, and by the way, they were all three pastors. I don't know if that matters, but this one of the pastors, not my friend, but another guy, he begins to sing praises to God. And this friend of mine said, I wasn't having none of that. I was mad. What does God think he's doing, ruining my fishing trip? He's mad at his friend for singing praises. And then he's doubly mad. In a few minutes, the other pastor started joining in. Now he's really steaming. And finally, after a few minutes of that, he's like, what the heck? Can't beat them, join them. So he starts singing praises too. The rain didn't let up right away, but the spirit of the camp changed. He said, we weren't sitting there pouting anymore. We were praising God. And the rest of the story is the rain did break, and they got to have some fishing as well. Praise, if our circumstances don't change, our attitude will towards our circumstances. God moves in power through praise, church. Now, the challenge for us is to praise him in all circumstances. And sometimes, like my pastor friend, and I've been there too, sometimes it's just like, you know, I don't really feel like it. I don't feel like praising you right now, God. I'm mad. I'm hurt. I'm depressed. I'm this, I'm that. It's like, I don't feel like it. But I'm telling you, if we can push through that and praise him, things will change, even if it's just our attitude and our heart. Third thing, as we unpack the scripture, praise produces salvation, peace, and joy. In other words, it releases the things of God in our life. Praise does. The jailer, because he had been told, don't let these guys out of your sight. So he not only put them in the inner cell, but he shackled them. And when they were freed, when the prison doors flung open and the shackles fell off and he couldn't find them, he's thinking, I'm dead anyway. So he pulls out his knife. He's fixing to end it all. And Paul says, don't do that. We're right here. We haven't gone anywhere. You're okay. The jailer brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, when he encountered God, his initial reaction was, I need some of that. I need some of what you have. What do I do? How am I saved? And they replied, and this is the gospel right here, guys. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, not just believe that, you know, like, yeah, there was a Jesus, there was a historical. Believe him as Savior. Believe him as Lord. And you will be saved, you and your household. I love that. Not only was this jailer transformed through his faith, his whole household was transformed. Dads, I'm talking to you. God, I hope, is talking to you. We have, and then moms too, but I'm just challenging you men. You have power to lead your family. Lead your family. Lead them in godly ways. Things change. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. Immediately the jailer and all his family were baptized. The jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. So in this moment, he's encounters this God who has freed Paul and Silas and who they were praising. You think the prison guard wasn't listening to that too? And so he encounters this God, and he says, what must I do? They tell him. He does it, and suddenly he's no longer trying to kill himself. He's having them over for dinner. And so he has peace. He has been saved, and he has joy. It says he's filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. I just want to tell you that God makes a difference. He makes a difference in a household. He makes a difference in our heart. But he also, he can transform relationships. He can transform our households. Man, we praise Him, church. Praise Him because He is worthy. I had a conversation with someone I won't mention who wasn't nobody in this church, but just about a week ago, and they were saying, you know, they had encountered someone that was, I think they had seen someone actually on TV, a celebrity that was professing their faith, and this person was not a believer, and they were like, why does he got to say all that? Why does he got to? And so I was trying to be as nice as I could be in my response, and I listened for a little while, and I said, you know, if somebody saves you, they deserve your praise. If somebody plucks you from the pits of hell, they deserve your praise. I knew someone a while back that God, I mean, this person had been told by doctors, several doctors, and through confirmed through biopsies and all sorts of things. And I saw the report, I saw the medical report. It said basically that, I mean, it didn't say it quite so bluntly, but it basically said, you got 4 months or less. And I'm not, and this is not because it was Billy and I, but Billy and I, they told us this, and Billy and I went to the prayer room with them, and we prayed. And then I saw, I'm condensing the story quite a bit, a couple of months later after they went to, basically they went to a doctor in another town to confirm they were going to more or less be a guinea pig as they were awaiting their final days on this earth. And the doctor went in and did another biopsy just to verify, and it said this disease was not detected. And so the doctor called him. The doctor was not a believer, evidently. The doctor called him and said, we've had a mistake on this biopsy. We better run another one. So they did it. No disease detected. They came home, went and had some blood work. No disease detected. Went and had some more blood work. No disease detected. And I'm just telling you, God has still not received the glory for that. That person just kind of went on about their business. It breaks my heart. And it reminds me of the 10 lepers. You know, God healed 10 of them, and only one came back to thank Him. And Jesus is going, wait a minute. Wasn't there 10 of you guys? Wasn't there 10? How come there's just one of you coming back to thank me? Man, when God does things in our lives, church, He deserves praise. He deserves honor and glory and thanks. I don't know about, maybe we're still waiting for that transformation. I know what He's done for me. And I'm just telling you publicly, it's not because I'm a pastor. I'm just telling you because I'm a child of the King. He has saved my soul. He has redeemed me from the pit. And He deserves praise and glory. I want to read this out of Isaiah 61. The prophet Isaiah, I love Isaiah because, man, God gave Isaiah some very specific proclamations about this Messiah that was to come. Very specific. We know Isaiah 53, I think Brent quoted from it today that it's by His stripes, by His wounds that we're healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. I mean, there's so many different prophetic words in Isaiah. But in Isaiah 61, here, and Jesus ended up quoting from this as He was launching His ministry. But listen to this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Don't you love that? Beauty for ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair? Are your current circumstances pretty lousy? Praising. Are you lonely or depressed? Praising. Are you struggling with an addiction? Praising. Do you have health problems? Praising. Are you struggling with financial difficulties? Praising. Is your marriage in trouble? Praising. Have you experienced deep loss? Praising. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let's pray. Father, indeed, praising you is powerful, and you are worthy of our praise. So we praise you, Father, with every breath that we draw in, we praise you. Teach us, Lord, to be like Paul and Silas, that when we're having one of those horrible days, to pray and sing hymns of praise to you. Let our praise be testimony to who you are. Father, this world is tough. And you know that we can face all sorts of things that bring us down. But you alone lift us up. How majestic is your name in all the earth. We love you, and we do indeed praise you in Jesus' name.